chapter 16. Thank you. So seeing if he was paying attention. I've never done that before. That would have been really bad if that would have all over everything. All right, let's read the story. Let's read the story here in Exodus chapter 16, and then we'll preach and trust the Lord to teach us something. Exodus chapter 16, you follow along as I read out loud. It's a little bit of a story here. Pay attention as we go through it. God will talk to Moses and to Aaron, and then they'll talk to the people. So a little bit of it's repetitive, but don't check out here. We won't read the whole chapter, but the first 20 verses or so. Exodus chapter 16, verse 1, the Bible says, "And they took their journey from Elim to the congregation of the children of Israel, came into the wilderness of Sin, which is in between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month of their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we would have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots," or pots full of meat, in other words, "and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and for the people shall go out and gather certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. It shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said to the children of Israel, At even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you from the land of Egypt, and in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings." That's convicting right there. Lord hears your murmurings. He says, "And against the Lord, and what are we that ye murmur against us?" Verse 8. "And Moses said, This shall be, when the morning shall give you in the Lord shall give you in the morning flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, and the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, Say to the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall eat bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up, and they covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not that it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing that the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered, some more and some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. And they gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave it till morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of it was left till the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, and every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted." We'll stop right there. Let's pray. God, it's an awesome story. There's lots to learn from it. If the people would just believe you, just take you at your word. And I feel like the children of Israel sometimes, God, if I would just believe you and just take you at your word. That's for all of us this morning, God. You know it's not my desire to belittle anyone. It's not my desire to discourage anyone or point any fingers at anyone. God, it has to be your spirit that would place your hand on the hearts of your children today in this place, that you would reveal truth unto every one of us, God, and we're guilty of murmuring. Help us not to make excuses and not to blame others. Help us to be honest with ourselves and with you. And God, forgive us. Forgive us where we're guilty of discontentment in our lives. Thank you for being a great God. A great God unto us, even when we don't recognize it. Help us this morning, God, please. Help us to see you in your word, high and lifted up as you are in heaven. God, make the difference in our hearts this morning. Please, God, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I meant what I said when I prayed. I wasn't really sure how to kind of get into the message this morning. It's fun to preach on things that are fun to hear about, but I don't know if a message on complaining, whiny children of Israel and discontentment is going to be on the top 10 list of anybody's in the church, whether it is to preach it or receive that sort of a message. And I really have nobody in mind except for maybe Darby, because he always smiles whenever I preach at him. I think if there's anybody that needed to hear this message, you could probably talk to my wife, for I feel greater today than I have for 7 days. I've been sick, and all wives know, well, my wife knows that when I'm sick, I'm just a bundle of joy to be around, and she doesn't have to say it. I'll tattle on myself. I think it's easier than other times to complain. But I will tell you that God does not like complaining. And he often punishes it. And a message of contentment or discontentment is sort of what we're looking at here. And Moses, God used Moses to solve a lot of problems. It was an absolute miracle when he held up that staff and the Red Sea was peeled back and he went through that. I mean, what an awesome story. And many other like it. One of the recurring, ongoing 40-year problems that Moses had to deal with was whiny, complaining, discontented, murmuring big group of children of Israel that were following all through the desert. And we find that a lot. And that's sort of what's taking place, or it is what's taking place here in the story. So we're going to look at the murmur and then the manna. But the first thing I want you to look, you can write down, or if you want to flip to Matthew chapter 10. The Bible says this. This is a truth that we can hang your hat on, or any way that you want to word it. The Bible says, we're valuable and he loves us. Now that may sound oversimplified to you. Matthew 10, 29 through verse 31 says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And we know that he says that even a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without God noticing. And he even says, fear ye not therefore, for ye are more valuable than sparrows. God knows exactly what's going on in the children of Israel's lives. He knows exactly where they are. He knows exactly how much water and how much food they have. He knows all of that. He knows that. And he doesn't really need them to complain about it to let him know that they're hungry. I'm pretty sure he knows these sort of things. Got a really great quote from you, from a guy named Will Bowen. He said, complaining is like bad breath. You notice it when it comes out of somebody else's mouth, but not when it comes out of your own. Complaining is like bad breath. I'm going to play off of that illustration a little bit. And my kids aren't in here, but my kids let me know when I have bad breath. Have your kids ever told you that you have bad breath before? Yay, nay, no. Sometimes I go into my kids' bedroom to pray with them at night. And it's a pretty intimate situation. It's a pretty special situation. Definitely also depending upon where the heart of your child is and desiring that the Lord would save some of my children with my oldest is definitely a fellowshipping time of praying with her. And there's been often where I've crawled into the bed or gotten real down close to pray with Edie. And I'm just, man, I'm trusting the Lord even to just move in right in the middle of that prayer. And I'm wondering what she's thinking. And she goes, I open my eyes and I'm begging the Lord. And she's looking at me like this. Dad, your breath stinks. Obviously, you were more focused on that than, but I didn't even notice. I didn't notice that. And I tell that, that's a true story, by the way. It's happened often. I should probably brush my teeth before I go to prayer. I'm going to do that. I'm going to make a note to myself. It's recorded and stuck on the internet for everyone to hear that I need to brush my teeth before I go pray with my kids at night. And I say that story and make fun of myself because I don't. I mean, your breath's got to be really bad to notice your own bad breath. Most of the time, you don't notice that. And so when we're talking about discontentment and we're talking about murmuring and these sort of things, it's really easy to go, well, I wish my wife was in the service for this one, or I wish my kids were upstairs for this one, or you know, Elijah's looking at Mason, and Mason's looking at Elijah. And that's the natural thing that we do, but I would encourage you, I really think there's probably some truth for everyone in this message, and it's not about bad breath, it's really about complaining and discontentment. If we look at the murmuring in my outline here, letter A, I put the people were angry. The people were angry. Look in verse 2. The whole congregation of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God, I can just hear the satire in their voice, would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we had our pots full of meat and we had all this bread and we were full and you brought us forth to the wilderness to kill us with hunger. The people were angry. Sometimes when we're angry, we don't think about it or we're emotional in these sort of situations. I imagine Moses, I mean, my mind is like, man, I'd just like to record you and play back to what you're saying. Listen to what you're saying. Listen to what you're accusing. The people were complaining. And I see two things in this. Number one, that complaint and how it kind of pulls down other people. Galatians 5:9 says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And I know that's we're talking about sin and how sin, just a little bit of sin, can ruin the and take a whole bunch of people down with it. But this isn't the first time a bad attitude has infiltrated and pulled down the children of Israel. How about the story when they sent 12 spies into the land, into the promised land? Remember that? Harold's nodding his head. Right? Two of them had a good report, and 10 of them had a bad report. And those 10 bad attitude guys, lack of faith guys, poisoned the mind and the heart of the entire group. And I think that's what's happening here. It doesn't have to be 95% of the crowd that's complaining about it. Just a little bit, and it's amazing how that kind of spreads and influences. It's almost like a cancer that it infiltrates and spreads onto the group of the congregation of the people. The second thing I see about this anger and this emotional situation that they're in causing this murmuring is that they have really bad memories. Think about what they said. They said, it was so great back in Egypt. Sometimes we do this. Now, don't be too hard on the children of Israel. Sometimes we do this. We had it so much better back then. And you go, did you really have it better back then? You know, when Pharaoh was completely controlling you and commanding to throw all your children into the river? You had it better then? I mean, you were just freely to go to Kroger anytime you wanted and buy all the meat you wanted? You had freedom, right? No. They had a terrible memory. How they had forgotten was mind-boggling to me. Not only have they forgotten about how bad it was back in Egypt, but I think they also forgot about how good God just was. God, just a couple chapters, they were just singing unto the Lord about Him splitting the Red Sea for them. Did they forget about that? Did they forget about the Passover? Wouldn't you have liked to have been at the very first Passover? How awesome would that have been? You know how much glory God got on that night? Remember when they got to march out of Egypt? They forget about the plagues where it was black all over Egypt, but they had light. They had bad memories. They were angry. Look in verse 8. Not only did they angry, but they made accusations. They made accusations. Verse 8. And Moses said, "This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against" who, church? Who? Him! And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. This is why I started with Matthew. Because they were murmuring, they were putting their accusations towards the men that were in front of them. Dr. Mitchell, they were saying, "Moses, why did you bring us out?" Did Moses bring them out? It wasn't Moses. Moses was minding his business on the backside of the desert being a shepherd. And God said, "I heard the cries of my people. I choose you to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go." God delivered them. God loved them. God brought them out. God cared for them. If Moses would have cared for the people as much as God cared for the people, I think he would have ran. But he was the one hesitating, saying, "Well, I don't know, Lord, I can't talk real well." Their real accusation was against God. And we have to be careful when we start complaining, because though you may be complaining about your boss, who gave you your boss? The Lord did. Harold got it. He understands that. It's the Lord that cares for you. It's the Lord that knows your need and can provide in these things for you. I'm glad Moses handled this situation amazing. I think it's because he was getting inside information from the Lord. He was walking close to the Lord. I don't think Moses would have handled it the same way if he was in the flesh. I know I wouldn't have handled it the same way if I was in the flesh. Okay? So the people were self-focused rather than God-focused. Moses was God-focused rather than self-focused. Those accusations were coming right at him, and he almost didn't even affect him. He just brushed them and brushed them under the Lord. So I wrote down here, here's your bad breath checklist. Let me ask you, does it bother you when you don't get things done your way? Now don't think about your kids. Don't think about your kids. Don't think about your siblings. What about it when you don't get things done your way? Brian told me in the van today. I picked him up, asked about winter camp, and I said, "Would you learn anything?" He says, "I'm selfish." Did you not tell me that this morning? So I heard a message about selfishness. So what'd you learn? Not to be selfish. I said, "Did you learn that sometimes you're selfish?" "Yeah, I am." Does it bother you when you don't get things done your way? How does it make you feel when someone tells you no? Bad breath usually has two reactions. Number one, people don't want to be around people with bad breath. Find that people avoid you. You're murmuring a lot, complaining a lot. My kids often will come home from school. "Nobody likes me at school." My first reaction is, "What'd you do?" And I'm not trying to be mean on my kids, but I don't just naturally go, "Well, you know what? That's probably right. There's 600 students in your school, and you're the only one that's a perfect child, and everybody else must hate you and are unreasonable. I'm going to go march down there and have the principal fix it." Is that what my kid's expecting me to think? Being a whiny baby who complains and critiques and criticizes others usually is somebody unhappy with themselves, and people don't enjoy being around them. Paul taught the First Thessalonians, told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Number one, the people murmured. Number two, let's look at the manna. Look in verse 4. Look in verse 4. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Will rain bread from heaven for you. Let me ask you a question. I have the answer in my notes, but I'll ask you. Did God know what the needs of the children of Israel were? Did he know they were in the desert with no food? Yep. Was God capable or able to meet their needs? Amen. So, God knew exactly what they needed. Next question. Did Israel do anything to deserve or earn that bread that God sent them? Some of you are shaking your head. No! So what's that called?
Disobedience.
They were disobedient. What is it? What do we call it when God gives us what we didn't earn and what we didn't deserve? And in fact, as a parent in the flesh, I want to give you the opposite.
Grace.
It's grace. Got to park here for just a second. The quicker you can see that is nothing but God's amazing grace that he poured out onto those whiny, disobedient people, the quicker we can see how God pours out grace in our own lives. Because we're not any less whiny and disobedient. And the quicker we can see how God has poured grace into our lives, think about this personally. Not that you've been in the desert starving for food, but where has God poured grace into your life? I love being around people who just talk about how good God's into them. I do. Harold's like, I don't know, you've been gone for a little bit. I missed you, brother. Harold's like that, man. I mean, Harold is a mature man who loves bragging. Man, God's done this for me. God's done this for me. He doesn't brag on himself. He brags on the Lord. God has poured grace into every one of our lives. And the quicker we can see the picture of God poured grace into their lives, the quicker we can see how God's poured grace into our lives. And the more we can see God pouring grace into our lives, the better we'll be about giving it out to other people who don't deserve it as well. And the less we'll be apt to be complaining about the things we don't like. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away. Put away from you with all malice. That's my new favorite Bible word for the year. Thanks, Nick. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I wrote in my notes, can you imagine how crazy it would be if God treated you like sometimes how we treat our spouses, our siblings, our bosses, or our neighbors? Aren't you glad God... Brother Fred, I love you, and I think you and your wife are fantastic. I don't know you. Maybe if I knew you more, I'd have more things to criticize you about. But can you imagine, however, the claim of testimony that I know that you have before me, can you imagine if God treated you the way you treat others at times? I mean, aren't you glad that God is filled with grace? I'm glad God is. They saw God's grace, and they also, look in verse 6, they saw God's glory, Exodus 16:6. And Moses and Aaron said to the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. I would say that was a pretty glorious, amazing thing that God did for the children of Israel. I would say that was pretty glorious. So I got this picture in my mind. I thought about this, I think it was yesterday or Friday. I got this picture where Moses, like I said earlier, Moses standing before the Red Sea, or with this fire separating the children of Israel and Pharaoh's army, or the walls of the Red Sea being pulled back, or any of these plagues, whatever mental picture you want to put in your head when you think of God's glory and Exodus and the Exodus out of Egypt, they had it. And I know the children of Israel had it because they spent a whole chapter praising and worshiping God for what he did when he got them out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. And now they're in a picture where they see God's glory and they see how amazing God is, but they, in between there, they lost it. they lost it. I don't think they had to lose it. I hope that's not where any of us are. Can you think of a time in your life where, how about when you met Christ, Darby? Was that a glorious thing? Do you remember when you met Christ? Was it glorious? Yeah. He says, yeah, it's pretty glorious. Right? From that moment, were there times where you maybe, God didn't lose any, he didn't get any less glorious, but maybe you got your eyes off of him? Maybe that was when we were more apt to be complaining about things. I don't think they had to lose it. In fact, I wrote in my notes, it's hard to complain and praise God at the same time. Hard to complain or murmur or criticize. I mean, if I was just mad at D, I tell you what, who put that Christmas tree on that step? That is just, it should have been on that step, not that step. I mean, if I was just really upset with Miss D because I'm, or maybe something a little more personal, but is, are we going to light the candles in the window or not? If you would have came to church a little early last Sunday night, there was a little bit of a battle of the wills. Are we going to light the candles or not in the windows? It was real. Was it real, Leslie? It was real. And the candles did get lit. But it's hard. Whether it's something as frivolous as candles, come on, whatever it is that's contention between you and your spouse, or you and your kids, or you and your neighbor, go back the next day. Is it really that big of a deal? Usually it's not. But you cannot sit in church and have an attitude of complaint or murmuring about Miss D or something about a lit candle and praise the Lord at the same time. You can't. It's impossible. Now, you could move your mouth and word the song, the word the lyrics of the song, but I don't think you could worship the Lord at the same time as complaining at the same time. We'll just hit the last one. See the murmuring, and we see God's manna. The last would be the mandates or the instructions that come along with God's manna, or the blessing that God gave. Yes, God gives grace and he shows us glory, but it always comes with instructions. God gave instructions to the children of Israel. Why? So that they would get the maximum benefit out of what he has provided for them. Now, that's very elementary, but it's important. That electric organ or electric piano, whatever you want to call it, came with an instruction manual, and it was probably pretty thick because it's a little different than that piano. Not only does it have foot pedals, but if you open that thing, there's about 200 buttons all over it. And to be able to understand how to get the maximum value and benefit out of what that instrument can do, you need to know how to use it. Does that make sense? Simple, right? And some of you got instructions for Christmas presents for your kids and you threw them away. Okay? God gave instructions not to burden their lives, not to make it more complicated, not because he was trying to make their lives miserable, but trying to get the maximum benefit out of what he had given for them. And it's the same thing in our lives today. Letter A, I wrote, God gave the rules. We're not going to read through them. But if you read verses 11 through 23, God gave instructions. He said, gather enough manna for each person. Under God's provision, no family would go short on food. God said, gather enough for each day. God's provision is good enough literally for every day. Now, we don't understand that nowadays. The same way people who are starving, or people like the children of Israel did in the wilderness that day, because our fridges are full. I get convicted about that sometimes. And my kids pray and thank God for, you know, I love hearing my four-year-old pray. It's the cutest thing ever. Even my one-year-old, you know, can do this and mumble just by copying her siblings. But I wonder, are we really grateful? Not by choice, but without choice, you go without food, you'll be more appreciative for the food you have. If you've been in the military, you've been somewhere overseas, you probably understand that better than most of us do. God said, gather enough for each day. His provision would meet their daily need. He said, gather extra on the Sabbath. Okay? God wasn't going to contradict himself. He said, there's this principle, this priority of the day of rest. He says, so therefore, the manna that I will give for you the day before the Sabbath will last an extra day. All the other days it won't last. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lead not unto thine own understanding. All the ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. I know that's in Proverbs, not here in Exodus. But after God gave that instruction, it's like Moses could have said, now that's what God said, now trust him. But some people gathered extra. And did they have extra at the end of the day? No. Some people tried to hold the food for extra days and it didn't work. And it doesn't record it in the scripture, Elijah, but I guarantee you there was probably some child of Israel that on the Sabbath day went out to gather food, and guess what he found on the Sabbath day? Nothing. And we do the same thing. We do the same thing. If we would just take God at his word. If we would just take God at his word. God gave the rules, and he gave rewards too. Look in verse 35. Last verse I'll have you look up. Exodus 16:35. And the children of Israel did eat manna for how long? 40 years. He provided that for 40 years. God's reward, the food was good in preparation. He says, we didn't read it. He says that in verse 23, he says this bread could be baked or boiled. He said it was good to the taste. The Bible says it tasted like wafers mixed with what? Honey! It was good to the taste. It was good to prepare. And it was good to the end because God provided that all the way till they crossed over into the promised land. Living in obedience to God's word results in God's blessings. Usually it's our own lack of faith, or we're complaining about something else that's got our eyes off of Christ and onto ourselves that causes us to be. We're usually our biggest hindrance. Usually not our spouses, Nick. Usually us. What other way is there to live? Plus, I love what Romans chapter 3 says. Romans chapter 3, you don't have to flip there, says, well then, Paul puts forth this argument. He says, is it by works or by grace? And he says, it's by grace. And he says, then where's boasting? And there is no boasting. The children of Israel have nothing to do to boast upon themselves. All they had to do, if there was anybody for them to boast on or boast over or to sing about, who was it? It's up. It's heavenly. It's vertical, not horizontal. It's not even Moses. Ultimately, it's God. It's ultimately God. Living in obedience to God's word results in blessings. There is no other way to live. Why don't you stand with me? That's it. Will you come play the piano, Miss Patty?